Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Do you ever get a little down in life? Do you dream of that buff body but can't be bothered to actually do the work? Of course you do. We all hate ourselves a little bit. 30 minutes from now, you'll feel so comparatively intelligent, cultured, and generally superior that you'll wonder why you ever worried at all. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of our weekly podcast. I'm David Flatman.
I'm Tom Shanklin.
Hiya, Tom.
G'day, mate.
You didn't steal the intro this time, like you started last week.
I know.
Because I think you know that. You listened back to it in the car or something and you thought, do you know what, Shanko? You looked in the rearview mirror and you thought that was a dick move.
I wouldn't do that. I thought it was good, mate. But I know I offended you and I would rather keep the peace than have you staring down at me. Don't want you getting angry, mate.
No, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, good, mate.
I mean, I already know because I've been here for 20 minutes before we started. So I'm just pretending to the listeners that you don't know. It's like when you... You walk onto a TV show and you're like, hey guys, and you shake hands. It's like you've been in the green room for 2 hours. Why are you pretending you just met? I don't get it.
Well, I've not been on TV, mate. So is that what happens?
Do the media stuff. So how are you? It's like when you go on stage at an event, you host events, and someone walks up like to do a Q&A with you, and you're like, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Warburton, and he walks up and you shake his hand. You've been with him for the last four hours.
How's it going, mate?
How you doing, mate?
Great to see you.
Great to see you. Saw you 4 hours ago. Anyway, people at home don't know how you are.
I'm well. I'm always well.
You are quite, aren't you?
Yeah. How are you?
You seem to me to be quite sort of psychologically robust. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, mentally tough.
I don't know. But yeah, mate, mentally tough. No, because your body language, as described by body language experts, we've spoken about this, was unacceptably weak, and you're never going to be part of a successful team. That's what they said at Saracens, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So mentally tough, maybe, but I think you're. You don't seem to get too down about anything.
No, I don't.
I don't know what you've got to get down about.
It's medication.
Yeah.
Keeps me at a certain level.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Without it, go. Yeah. Watch out.
Always a loon. Yeah. You're well, are you? You're good? You're happy?
Yeah, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
How's your week been? What have you been up to?
Well,
because I don't know.
Actually. I went shooting with Sol Campbell last week.
Wow. Yeah. What was he like?
Big,
really?
Like genuinely big bloke. I mean, he wouldn't weigh as much as me necessarily, but he is a he's not playing anymore. He's a big old boy.
Is he bigger than me?
Yes, he's significantly bigger than you.
Really?
I mean that. Yeah, he's like.
It's impossible.
There's a photo of us on Twitter or something because we went to EJ Churchill, which is like a shooting place, really cool actually. And these are not
is High Wycombe. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there.
These are not sponsors of mine, by the way. And we went with Bremont Watches. Yeah. I love watches, and I've known the guys Nick and Giles who. Own Bremont Watches, known them for years and years and years. They used to have an association with Bath Rugby. No sponsorship.
Can you say that name again for me? No, seriously.
Bremont. Yes.
Bremont Watches. Have you got a watch from Bremont?
I have got a Bremont, but it's not sponsored.
Did you wear it on the day?
I did actually, yeah.
Funny that.
Imagine if you turned up with the wrong one arm.
Do they listen to the podcast?
No.
Give us a watch, yeah.
Yish.
Yeah.
Give us a second series, yish. So we went shooting, and I'm not clay pigeons, you know. I'm not very good at shooting, but I was more interested to meet Sol Campbell, really, because I'm a sort of I'm a rubbish sort of pretend Arsenal fan. But Sol Man was one of my favourite players.
It's one of your favourite things to do on the weekend, isn't it?
Isn't it? I never go and watch football, but I watch it on telly.
Grow up the arse, watch him play.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. So, anyway, Sol Campbell, perfectly nice man, and bigger than I thought. Much bigger than I thought.
Yeah?
Yeah, very, very...
How was your shooting?
Large. Actually, all right.
Really?
Yeah, it went all right. I'd have been... Of the four, Nick and Giles are really, really posh. They go shooting all the time.
Yeah, Freddie was there as well. And Hugo.
And Felix. But Nick and Giles are Bremont guys. They were both the top two. I reckon my shooting was better than Sol Man's.
Even with that lazy eye you got?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got a special thing. I've got a Pirates patch up over it for shooting.
Yeah.
And always shoot from the hip. but it was good.
I've been there. I did a Wasps shooting day.
Why'd you do it with Wasps?
Don't know. Just did.
What did you...
I'm an ambassador for DS Smith. DS Smith sponsored Wasps.
That's right.
So I went down there.
Oh, with Haskell. Haskell's always there.
No, he wasn't there, actually. No, Joe Simpson was. But it's good. Real good day. I won Top Gun.
Of course you did.
I did. Won two tickets to watch Wasp play.
Did you go?
Never going to use them.
Never going
to
use them?
Never. I gave them to someone at work.
Oh, well then, mate. Did they go?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
I think they gave them to someone else.
Yeah.
They gave them to someone else who went.
Yeah, then the person they gave them to had cold hands, so they set them alight and
did
had warm hands for
them. Did you do the clays that they come rolling across the floor?
Yeah, they're the ones I struggle the most with, actually. I usually get those rabbits.
Yeah, trying to resemble a rabbit.
Yeah. I normally get them.
It's good fun, isn't
schmucks.
It?
Yeah, it's nice, actually. The best bit is lunch afterwards in the local pub. Very nice.
Okay.
In the village called, what's it called? Hambledon or something. It's where they film Chitty Chitty, Bang Bang, and loads of other famous stuff. That Fury, the movie, Brad Pitt in the tank.
Yes.
It was filmed in this village called Hambledon. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Amazing village. And one of the reasons, apparently it's used in loads of TV shows, one of the reasons they like it is because it's got no modern street lights or anything like that. It's just as it was. It looks as it was.
Okay.
In the old days, like.
They film Heartbeat there?
I'm going to say yes, but the answer is no.
Okay.
Don't know.
Do they have internet?
Yeah, they've got Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
It was nice. Anywhere with Sky. And
do you know what I was
Wi-Fi.
Surprised about with Sol Campbell is that he was like the most expensive player in England at one point, wasn't he? Or was that Rio?
No, he was. I think he, when he re-signed for Arsenal, I think he was on a deal back in the day, which probably was about 35 grand a week.
Can't live on that. He turned up in a van.
Okay.
He's got an interior design, like furniture business with his wife.
Like the 18 van, though.
No, like it was a nice van, a nice like Merc
like
van.
Optimus Prime van.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a 2-litre diesel van, proper van.
Good on the road.
And we all went from the shoot, we followed each other in our cars, wheeling our way quarter of an hour drive to the
Did you look
pub,
inside?
And Sol got lost. We lost Sol. And gave him the slip.
Was he a lost Sol?
Lost you, but yeah. That's good. That is good, mate. Anyway,
did you have a look inside the van before we started?
No, I don't know if it was like
so,
kitted out.
No, he could have had some bling in there, and he could have had some decks, and he could have had some champagne.
Yeah,
yeah,
maybe
he could have done it. He could have had a cinema system.
He could have had a Porsche in the back, basically. Is what he could have had. But he turned up, and I said, "I gave you the slip, there, mate." He goes, "Yeah, no centre forwards ever managed it. You managed it today, son." And I laughed. He goes, "You can have that. Tell your grandkids."
Mate, did he sign you off as well? He called you son?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Which is funny because, you know, it's not funny. It was humiliating. It was a really bad moment. It was good. It was a nice day. He's a nice man. Anyway.
Good chat. Has he got good chat?
Yeah, fine, nice guy. Yeah, nice.
Really?
Yeah, he's nice.
Yeah, okay.
He's perfectly nice.
Yeah, no, I believe you.
I'm not going to lie.
But my Tommy gun don't.
He is a nice man and...
A nice day, mate.
Decent company. Yeah, nice day.
Okay.
And as opposed to what else I've been doing, well, you want the truth? I can't remember. It's Sunday night. We're in your mum's kitchen. I can't remember what I've been doing. I was working working yesterday.
I must apologise from last week when you were really trying to open up your heart to me about these these head injuries that you've had over your time, you start to forget things and you lose it, but because you've got really good chat and in your words,
it's not what I said.
That eventually comes back to you because you can mumble on for a bit.
Yeah.
And you know, I made up some sort of story that was from Step Brothers, where I saw these equations on a board in the school.
You did the Goodwill Hunting joke kind of thing, and it's a real shame because I was trying to have a moment and be honest, and you know.
Yeah, so I do apologise for that, mate. You probably can't even remember, so it's fine.
Remember what?
Yeah.
What have you been up to? Anything interesting?
Did a bit of charity work on Wednesday, mate.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Went down to my old junior school in Tenby and did a bit of a talk.
Did you have junior school in Tenby?
Yeah.
Were you born in Wales?
No.
No?
No.
How old were you when you moved to Wales?
7.
Right. So 7 years in England. How long in Wales before you moved back to England?
7.
So you moved back when you were 14?
Something like that, yeah. Rest is history. Anyway.
Okay. My point is, you're English. Anyway.
My mother and father, both from Tenby, so went down there. We did a little bit of a talk with the year ones and twos, all the way up to year six, about the NSPCC and stuff like that. And it was good. It was good. You have to open up to them as well. So you have to, like, you know, if you see some sort of bullion, you know, who should you tell? And some really good answers.
Yeah.
The Queen was one.
Oh, yeah. Tell the Queen. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Tell your pet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell the dog.
Sorry. One little boy put his hand up and said, tell your bodyguard. So.
Who's he?
I think he's a mayor's son. So, and I did a little bit of coaching with them after.
When they were talking about bullying and stuff, were you, and being bullied, were you taking the piss out of them as well? Like you took the piss out of me for my potential sort of memory, short term memory loss, concussion stuff?
Under my breath, yeah.
At least you keep it real.
But we had Buddy the speech bubble with us, so my job was to hold him.
Yeah, he's a Norse.
So went down there for the day, which was nice. Popped in. So my mate Luger in the New Inn in Anroth, bit of food on the way back.
Oh yeah, nice pub. Did he make you pay for it?
No, he didn't actually.
Happy days.
Yeah, pub's closed.
Oh
yeah, okay. So went to his house. Luckily he lives next door.
That's nice, isn't it?
Still claims mileage though to the pub.
Of course he bloody does. What are we going to talk about, Tommy?
I'm finished with it. I don't know.
Oh god, okay.
And had a game of golf on Friday, mate.
How'd you go?
Me, Bubs and Weird Andrew had a game of golf.
Weird Andrew.
Yeah, I've got Andrew Nicholson. I've got to say his second name just in case someone knows him and wants to agree with me that he's weird.
Or tell us any bad stories about him, stuff he's done in his past.
So we had a game of skins. Obviously I won that because I'm amazing at golf. And went for a bit of food after. Nice.
What's skins?
Up in Penarth. Skins is basically a game where if you win the hole, it's one skin to you. If you draw it, they carry on over to the next hole.
Okay.
So you can be rubbish and still be in the game, basically.
So it's golf bants, basically.
But this happened to me, though, on Friday night. So we went to a nice restaurant for a bit of food.
Yeah.
I had a coffee. I needed the toilet then, number two.
Yeah, well, you know what coffee does? It melts all the food inside you, so it comes... Yeah.
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 I knew that. They didn't, though, so thanks.
If it's really hot, yeah.
And went to the toilet. My mate was... Matt was waiting to go in. I opened the door, come out the toilet.
Yeah.
He couldn't handle the smell. Started retching. I thought, oh, he's taken, it's not that bad. You know, we've all been young once and gone into the toilet after our dads.
Yeah.
And the projectile vomited. Now,
are you taking this?
No. My question to you is...
Was he drunk?
No. Is a smell that bad that's going to make you be sick?
I can't.
Or has he got a weak tummy?
I think... I don't know. I never thought about it. I think he's. Probably
I live a Jew, and like,
yeah,
you are relentless when it comes to that. And but not once did it make me want to.
I think he's a bit weak of constitution, this chap, and it reminds me, Tom, of.
I think he did it for theatre, basically.
Yeah, I think he's playing to the crowd. Well, maybe he's not. He's actually spewing. I remember a time when we were at Sarri's in the team room at the training ground at Bramley Road there. And just sitting next to Danny Grucock on a sofa, and he had like a plastic pint glass, plastic beaker thing.
Yeah.
Little thin ones you can take outside onto the balcony sort of thing. And he just, I remember him just grabbing it, he's sitting on my right on the sofa, and he put his left hand on the back of my head. And with his right hand, he basically smashed this plastic pint glass into my face over my mouth and nose. and held the back of my head, so I couldn't. I thought, what is he doing? For a hot millisecond, I thought, what is he doing? Then I realised that he had farted.
And then you inhaled.
He had cupped a fart, and I had nowhere to go, so I inhaled.
Good way of cupping it, though.
It was well thought out.
Yep.
It was brilliantly executed. And I could have used a knife and fork to cut through it.
Was it one of those that makes your eyes water?
It was bad. It was really bad. But if anything was going to make me actually vomit, that would be it. Just something nice to visualise for our listeners, really.
Do you know what I watched on the weekend?
What now?
Adam Jones on Mastermind.
Good, apparently.
Really good. Really good. So his specialist subject was the British and Irish Lions, 1993 to 2005. Got 12 out of 12. And there were some tough ones. Not obvious ones, like who was the captain.
Yeah.
But there were some tough ones, like what Welsh centre left the tour early, could not play in the first test due to injury. And had to fly home after the second test.
Great question. Who
probably would have, had he been fit, won the series for them.
So Brian O'Driscoll?
No, he was injured in the first test. So you'd be no good.
Yeah, it's funny. One of the questions was who was not selected for the British and Irish Lions for political reasons, for religious reasons, and had he been selected, what Lou said, had he been selected, would potentially have, you know, resulted in a winning series, and that was one of the questions, apparently.
What ex Dulwich loose head prop,
not called Andrew Sheridan?
Yes.
Anyway, he was good. He's a bright guy.
He was really bright. I mean, he got let down a little bit by some questions on the general knowledge. Wuthering Heights was one. I don't know what area of England was some sort of this book related to, or whatever.
Yeah.
He didn't know the answer. But it was a tough one.
Didn't even know that.
No.
By the way, in the background, we've got my little iPad mini leaning up against my navy leather executive man clutch, and on it we've got Exeter against Ulster, and Charles Pietau has just absolutely skinned him for a try. He stepped Jack Noel a minute before. Jack Noel put an amazing shot on him, but he's just stepped him, and basically he steps really good players like they're not there. He's a freak. I'm going to say this to you now, Tommy. He is the best rugby player in the European Cup.
He's up there, yeah, I agree.
I mean, he's up there. Who's better than him?
Well, you're putting on a spot now, I don't know.
Yeah. He's better than everyone.
Toji?
He's better.
Okay. Is good, though, that his form continued from Wasp. Because, you know, you go to a new club, sometimes you might have a dip in form. You might be able to find yourself. But straight in.
He's fierce.
15, 13, wherever.
Yeah, and now I've said that, the iPad's shut down. So anyway, should we carry on with our podcast?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah, why not?
So I watched a bit of rugby this weekend. I've worked doing media stuff, you know, like you.
Is that your full-time job? Although you're self-employed?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's full time, because it full time means 5 days a week, doesn't it?
But rugby's not shown five times.
It ends up being every weekend. Yeah. So today I commentated on Bordeaux against Clermont for BT with Andrew Cotter, who is one of the lesser known but best commentators in the business. He's
mostly on BBC. Golf as well. Incredible.
Wimbledon golf. All those sorts.
He's a funny bloke as well, isn't he?
Very funny.
I met him during the World Cup. We did a lot of corporate stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you this. During the England-Australia game.
Yeah.
Australia won, didn't they? In the World Cup.
Yep.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
2015.
You and a bit.
Yeah. On the way back, I parked the other side of the waterworks in Hounslow. So.
Yeah.
It's free parking there. Drop down along a little river.
Cheaper,
by the waterworks.
Yeah.
Straight into Twickenham. Now, after the game, we finished off doing a bit of the Q&As and stuff and just signing off the game. And was walking back to my car. I didn't drink because I wanted to stay professional. And
you're a great guy, yeah.
Remember what I'm talking about. I was also on a massive training block as well, so it was really key.
Yeah, tapering, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of sugar in beer.
Yeah.
So I was walking back and I could see two really drunk men peeing into the water. Now, there's a little path, there's a lot of brambles, and then there's the river.
Yeah.
And they were peeing and they were wobbling.
Yeah.
As they were urinating. And one fell forward over the brambles into the water. And his mate was trying to grab him and pull him out. Both big, big men.
Yeah. Fat.
Yeah.
Fat. Yeah.
And the other guy slipped. So he was in the water as well. And they're shouting. So I run over as fast as I can. And I can see them both in the water. So I'm trying to pull them out. It took me forever.
Sounds like that scene from Dirty Dancing.
I got soaking. Absolutely drenched. My legs were in the water. Everything. You know, obviously dressed fairly smart because you've got blazer and shirt and stuff like that on. Ruined. All ruined. It takes me ages to pull these guys out. You know, I'm talking like 18, 20 stone and they're trying to crawl out. And they're both hammered.
Mm.
I get them both out.
Because you're freakishly strong.
They're on their backs. And I look down and he's still got his thing out of his flies. Oh, where he's peeing. And I said to him, oh, you're right now, boys. You're right. Can I leave you? You're right. And they went, yeah, thanks. I'm just left into it. And they got up, walked off. And
where did that story come from, talking about Andrew Cotter?
I don't know. I was thinking about when I met him, it was at that game.
Oh, right. That's nice.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought you were going to say, turned out one of them was...
Jason Leonard.
Andrew Cotter before he went really, really fit and slim.
No.
Anyway, yeah, a bizarre tale, but an interesting one, and one that's contributed to making you the man you are. I commentated on Bordeaux Clermont today, which no one should have had to commentate on that game, because it was absolutely Kieran Dyer. I quite enjoyed it because it was with Andrew.
Yeah.
It was good fun, but Brian O'Driscoll and Lawrence were in Craig Dore in the studio while we were commentating, and Brian just texted me saying, you know, the commentary is the best part of this game, and the commentary's shit. But no, he would never say that to me.
No.
It was brutal.
Done.
But yesterday I did
myself on the back.
The commentary wasn't very good, but it was. I think we could have said nothing, and the commentary would have been better than the game.
Yeah.
I did Leicester Racing on Saturday, which was compelling from a French point of view, at least. Anyway, Friday night, I was on the armchair in front of the log fire with the dogs, watching Bristol against Bath, and Bath absolutely spanked them.
In the Challenge Cup, this
Challenge Cup, 50-pointer. They call it a local derby if you want, but Bristol don't care about this competition, really.
What was Bristol's team like?
Decent, but it didn't.
Because we thought they'd slightly turned a corner. They started to play better rugby.
Yeah.
Woodward didn't play.
Woodward didn't play. No, he's injured.
Clive's son didn't play.
And yeah, they didn't have their first team out.
But it's still a decent team.
Decent. I mean, not that much different. Like, Will Hurrell didn't play. They got absolutely spanked. And Bath were irresistible. The rumours went around that Bath got an absolute rocket during the week from Todd Blackadder, and they were battering each other in training. And
who seems like the most placid guy? Like,
I think he is. I don't think he's placid. I think he's calm.
Yeah.
So I don't think. Well, maybe placid is calm. That is exactly what placid means. I don't think he's weak. I think he's strong. but doesn't need to shout about it. And yeah. That's the impression I get. But it's interesting because someone, actually, a guy called Stephen Segrist, has emailed in asking us about to discuss the merits of Ford, Sexton, Russell, and Farrell in the context of the Lions tour. He said, "I'm a Scot, so I'm completely blind as to what makes Ford so great. I would go so far as to say, ball in hand on the front foot, or when something needs creating, Ford is the best in the British Isles. I would say, in terms of creative play, ball in hand. I think Sexton perhaps drives a team better. I think Finn Russell's got perhaps a bit more panache in him, but I just." George Ford is on Friday night. You should have seen him. He was just absolutely mesmeric. Don't agree?
No, I do. I just put a face. He is. He takes. He does take the ball really flat.
He's brilliant.
He's able to use all the runners around him. Go forward.
Yeah, I remember talking to
his kicking.
Yeah,
off the tee isn't the greatest. I don't think, and I don't think you could rely on him to be. I think you still need a first choice kicker in there. Luckily for England,
got Farrell
plays. But yeah,
I might not be so lucky for the Lions, though.
No, I do agree. I tell you who I think could be an outside bet to get that number 10 berth. Well, depends what they want to do with Farrell, because out of the four, for me, he's the best. Whether you play him at 10 or 12, that's the option you've got. But Finn Russell had a great game at the weekend
against Munster.
I thought he had a great game, yeah. And he's really
fine. He's so much fun to watch, isn't he?
Scotland this year, we spoke about it a lot, will be a great team.
Yeah. You'll know a lot about this, Tommy, but talking to Ollie Barkley once about certain fly halves and who's good to play with and who isn't, and he said to me something along the lines of, Charlie Hodgson is the best to play with in the Premiership by a million miles. And this is at the time when there are some pretty great fly halves around. Guys like Johnny. He said, as a centre, no one's better than Charlie. And I said, why is that? Because he said squares his shoulders up, he can run straight at defenders parallel to the touch lines and then pass without having to fade towards the pass. And apparently George is very good at that too.
Yeah, it's because he's also a running threat, ball in hand. So a lot of players, a lot of tens, aren't really going to make a break. They're just there as a link between your nine and your backs, really. But Ford, Russell, Farrell, really. They're all of them actually real good running threats. So you can't take your eyes off them, so you can't leave them. Ford's pretty quick as well, which...
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Which helps, because that means, if he does make a break, a lot of the time he can clear away from covering defence.
Yeah, so it was Bristol got absolutely torn apart, and I think those days just come every now and again. Bath were absolutely on one. Bristol were 25% off because they don't care about the Challenge Cup, they just want to survive the Prem.
Yeah,
and they're missing a couple of players and they got absolutely spanked. Their set piece got spanked, which it hasn't done much this season. Their set piece has been decent.
Yeah,
Nathan Catt was
obviously
out to prove a point and gave Jamal Ford Robinson a horrible time. But the highlight of the match was Max Lahiff, Bath tight head, having his, in a little scuffle in the front row, having his top pulled off and his rig popped out, and holy shamoli.
Yeah, I've heard that he's actually had ab implants. There was an Australian photographer or something on Big Brother before, Sled Big Brother, I can't remember his name.
Oh, I remember seeing a picture of that guy, fat guy with ab implants.
And if you look a little bit closely, they do look a bit too good.
Yeah, but everyone should say that about you and me. It's like, you know what?
Josh, really good.
BHW got us that. Bloody hard really good. Who?
Fishing wire. If you like, create a little grit, like a little grill, fishing wire, and just pull it real tight around your midriff.
Yeah,
it's good.
Okay,
but yeah, it's a different breed of prop now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is. There's actually, we've got another question here. I'll find it in a minute, but it's along the lines of.
Does that really matter? I mean,
I don't think. The question is actually from Will Robinson on email.
What's your primary job as a prop?
To look. It's not about that. It's not about what's your primary. Your primary job is to hold a scrum up.
But we're not.
That isn't the point anymore. So no one just has one job anymore. There's so much to do, and the guys are so fit that you look at the contributions that front row players make over the course of the game. Like Tom Dunn the other night against Bristol hooker. He made 25 tackles. He's a hooker. Against Poe the other week, he made 36 tackles.
See, I think hookers are slightly different.
Okay, yeah, I just happen to know his stats. But the props make such a huge contribution. You watch top props over the course of a game, there's so much carrying, so much defending, that now it's not... I think, and I look around world rugby, and I really don't think there is one monster scrum in the whole of the international game. So I think you can go to New Zealand in the summer with the Lions, and if you've got just a scrummaging animal, so if you've got like a modern day version of Adam Jones, I don't think you need to take him, because they're just not that good at it. They're efficient at getting the ball in and away. If you've got your scrum right and you've got strong enough guys, then you're not going to struggle out there, because the All Black scrum just isn't that good. And Argentina can produce a great scrummaging game. Georgia can produce it. Otherwise, French sometimes can produce it, even they're struggling for loose heads some of the time.
Yeah.
So I don't think you need to be a monster scrummager in the modern game at the moment with this generation of players. You need to contribute loads over the course of 80 or 60 minutes.
Okay, so if you had a choice, if you're a coach now and you had a choice of having a average scrummager but amazing around the park, or an amazing scrummager and average around the park?
I think what you can't do is pick someone who's going to get done over in the scrums. You can't pick that person. But there are enough players now to pick someone who is good enough to hold it steady. Because really, you know, unless you're going for a pushover try, which is once a game max generally, if you sometimes never, not in a game, what you want is really good ball. You just want really good ball for your nine.
I suppose, though, if it all depends on the balance of your forwards. So if you don't have that many big ball carriers, you might need your props to carry a little bit more, because, let's be honest, a prop is pretty compact, they're pretty powerful.
Hard to tackle if
hard
they're
to
good,
tackle because they're shorter than second rows and back rows.
But I think the days of the big fat prop are not at an end, but they're not far off being at an end. That's what I think.
Okay.
It's not about six packs, it's about overall contribution. So, you know, I might have said this before on a podcast, never remember what we said and what we haven't. When I was playing at Bath 4 seasons ago, Dave Barnes was really, really fit. He was mega fit, always was, still is. I was last out of the three loose heads, out of me, him and Catty in the fitness. Barnsley was way ahead of me, and Catty was way ahead of Barnsley, like up there with the backs and the back rows, ahead of most of the back rows.
Yeah.
Freaky fit. Now the rumours I hear that he is third out of Autorak, Lahif and him. He comes third in the fitness tests.
Well,
you know,
I suppose professionalism has gone to a new level now. So, of course, props are going to be worked a lot harder, because they have to do, there's a lot more of ask from them from the game now. So,
yeah.
They are going to lose that puppy fat, if you want to call it that, because they're training and they're running more. But I still like a prop to look like a prop and to be able to push first in a scrum. And if he's not great around the park, so be it. But
hey, I mean, so do I. But now the thing is, if they're not good around the park, you get shown up. That's the point. You get caught out, and you cost the team points if you're not good enough. And
My fear is
first job push, but you've got to be able to do loads more now.
My fear is it's going to turn out like rugby league, where everyone's so mobile and so fit, and there's no space out there because everyone is so agile.
Yeah, it's feasible. It's feasible. It really is.
The Glasgow Munster game.
That was fab, wasn't it?
It was a good game. Right at the end.
Siali, wasn't it?
Siali scored. Yeah.
Really good try, actually. Keith Earls did really well.
Yeah, Keith Earls did well. Come back in, switch it with Siali.
Yeah.
Just come on, and he finished well in the corner. He's a well put together guy.
He is, isn't he?
He is.
Lovely chance.
Looks good.
Lovely chance.
Looks good. But Glasgow did have opportunities at the end, and you know, Finn Russell put himself in the position to hit a drop kick over, but didn't get the ball. I don't think he was calling for it in an interview after. He said, that potentially was an opportunity, but it must be difficult for tens because they have to make sure everything's certain and everything's right before they want the ball for a drop kick. But it was a good game. I suppose the worst thing about that game was, I think it might have been Swinson or Strauss run straight into Conor Murray. Conor Murray got a bit of an elbow and a forearm in the head, went straight down.
Looked knocked out, didn't he?
Ref blew up straight away because he wasn't moving, he was on his back. Medics came on, and there's going to be another inquiry into it because he stays on. And you can see when he stays on, he's not quite there. he's saying obviously it was his neck, and that's why he didn't move. But Munster did take him off 5 minutes later. But when you look at that on replay and you see how he goes down, he had to go off.
The key for me is that if there is reasonable, I'm going to get my terminology wrong now, officially wrong, but if there is a reasonable suspicion that he's been knocked out, he has to be whipped off. And it was, for me, looking at that, there was reasonable suspicion.
So the medic's on the side of the field, right? They might not have seen their replay straight away. They've seen Conor Murray down. They've gone straight over to Conor Murray. They've assessed him. He said his neck's all right. They are so focused on him, they're not even looking at the replays you see on the screen. So then it's down to someone, the coach or whoever, maybe they have another independent doctor who's looking at the screens, to then say, no, he's got to get off and he's got to go for an HIA. Because it didn't. I think then the Munster management probably had a quick chat, saw how bad it was, got him off.
But isn't there, I mean, actually, yes and no to that. I think if they see that actually it looked like he was knocked out, he shouldn't be HIA'd. It shouldn't be an HIA. It should be just taken off and done.
Yeah.
HIA is an assessment with a view to see whether you can come back on. But if you've been knocked out, you shouldn't be coming back on. So for me, he should have been whipped off and kept off. So anyway, there'll be another inquiry. There's another inquiry at Sale, isn't there? TJ Ioane is being investigated as well for his head knock. But I mean, there is going to be a period, potentially an extended period of this kind of stuff. And people are going to say, well, the Northampton thing wasn't dealt with properly, or it was, or the Sale thing wasn't dealt with properly. But there is going to be a period of feeling it out. And for me, it's a lot of people going mad because the process isn't right. But the process has only been tested for about 5 minutes. So it's definitely not right. 6 months from now, it definitely won't be perfect.
No.
But it needs to get better all the time.
It is going to take a while for this. And it's going to take a while for refs to look at examples and to see examples, and for doctors to see examples of what should be off, what shouldn't be off. Yeah. But what will happen, though, is that kids at school, kids in coaching camps, underage groups, all the way up to adults, to professional rugby players, everyone will start to tackle lower now because they can't risk a chest tackle with your arm going up, which could be a yellow card or a red card, which will create lower tackles, which means that there should be more offloads, which means that the game should get faster. Mm. So I think in the long term, this is good, but it's going to take a good year or so for people to gauge what is actually a red card, what's a yellow card, what's a penalty. Yeah. But stick with it, because it is for the better of the game.
Yeah, and protect people's brains. We've spoken about this ad nauseum, haven't we? But I think it's being implemented for the right reasons. That's what I'd say. But two observations from that game. One is that I love this Munster surge, and undoubtedly they were propelled to another kind of emotional gear by the death of Axel Foley, or at least another level of concentration. And they have kept that going, for which they should be commended. It's great to watch. A lot of me would love them to win the European Champions Cup this year.
We were on a chat about this, weren't we? And there's a couple of teams in prime position. You look at Claremont,
Saris. Saris drew at Scarlets
today. I reckon Munster. I think this could be Munster's year.
Mm. I mean, it would be fab.
It would be
great to watch. You're tipping them. Here he goes. Done.
Yeah.
I'm Sarri's, your Munster.
Yeah. Okay. But Finn Russell, again, was good. I know we just spoke about him, but he'll have a huge, huge role for Scotland this year. And it'd be really interesting to see if Glasgow can keep him, because he's going to have a lot of offers elsewhere. Complete, like, he's a number 10 that you'd like to play outside, because he does, like, random...
He could go to Bath.
He does random stuff, which... You're not sure as an attacker with him he's going to do, let alone a defender. Does a lot of chip and chases, which means the line, if players come up quick off the line and there's a lot of space behind, takes it to the line very well.
Yeah,
good kicking game,
great headband. I mean, all sorts of stuff.
He's a scar on his head though.
He's fab, and I reckon he could sign for Bath if George Ford leaves. Anyway, that's pure speculation. The other observation I want to make from that game is, it's more of a question to our listeners, really. Johnny Gray, Glasgow and Scotland second row
captain,
he is famous for his work rate.
Yeah.
And prodigious work rate it is. So astonishing work rate, actually, week after week. Very few missed tackles, very few defensive errors. A Scottish person I was with the other day, a rugby person, who I won't name because they asked me not to. I'm not being one of those, I'm not trying to be smug and confidential, but I said I wouldn't, so I won't. Said he makes loads of tackles, but they're all soak-ups. He never smashes anyone. What's the point in being that big if you don't smash anyone? And the point was, you look at Maro Itoje, you look at Henderson, you look at Alan Wynn, those guys, if you run straight into them, they'll bury you. Or a couple of times a game, they're whacking people backwards, yeah, making the defence run back.
Yeah.
His point about Johnny Gray was, he's incredible athlete, but he makes a lot of passive hits.
So Johnny Gray potentially wouldn't have a, I hope not, Bill, that's a maternity ward.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct,
from
Tommy.
From Loma Rugby, that is.
Correct, Tommy. Well done. So, you know, is he the big second row that's going to bury Julian Salvea in the summer? That's the question. So I'd like our listeners to let us know what they think.
He also cheats, mate.
Does he?
Yeah, he writes line-out calls and stuff on his hand. Yeah.
Learn it.
I don't know if it's line-out calls. It could have been a shopping list. It could have been like a to-do list.
So it might be like one of those, like a religious section of the Bible. I'm not into religion, really, but 3:16, don't they do a lot of these guys? Oh, Christ knows. Move on. I don't know. I also watched...
Christ being the right word.
Christ being the right word. I also watched Leicester get pumped by Racing Metro. Racing really up for it.
Yeah, but Racing have been up for it, then they've been rubbish. More so rubbish than up for it, I think. Mm.
Ronan Agara said he was embarrassed by it.
Especially with the team they've got. But what's going on with Leicester, mate?
Well, I think they tried to play the game that served them so well in the second half against Wasps last week, which was one outrunners and one outrunners with a tip on. So really one or two outrunners from the nine and just going to bludgeon their way forward. And it worked for them in the second half. They were magnificent at
like
doing
the
that.
Old style of Leicester.
But you go to France and that's what they want you to do, because
that's how the top 14's played.
The top 14 is, yeah, it's turgid. That is how it's generally played. So, or just in a really bad high tackle in the... such a bad high tackle, no one else thought it was high and has left it. It wasn't a high tackle, I'm being sensitive. In the Ulster game on the iPad next to us. Anyway... they're playing this sort of bludgeoning game, but I don't think they've got the players to do that. They've got loads of really good players, but you look at like Will Evans, you look at Lockie McCaffrey, Graham Kitchen, and these guys, these are top players, really, really good players, ball players, athletes. Yeah. They've got footwork, they've got hands, and they're trying to bash through a load of, you know, 20 stone Frenchmen. And
who are ready for it.
That's exactly what
used
they want.
To it.
So is there another layer to their game? Is there a plan B? And on Friday, like it looked like no, actually.
French have always been big. They've always got big packs, haven't they? So you have to move them around a little bit. You have to keep ball in play. You have to tire them out.
You go, make them run. And one interesting point, for me at least, is there's a lot of talk about who's going to play loosehead for England now with Mako and Joe Marler injured for the Six Nations. The big question mark over Ellis Genge has been, look, we know he's really good around the field and ball in hand, but is his scrum quite good enough for international level? Well, Matt Mullins seems to be in pole position at the moment as a good all-rounder for Wasps. He really struggled against Toulouse at the weekend, did Matt.
Yeah.
Just Toulouse, Census Johnston just looked enormous against him and shoved them back. Ellis Genge was against Luc Ducalcon, very experienced French international, and was really, really good, rock solid the whole game. And then when Tamafuna, the 24-stone Islander, came on, massive guy, Genge had him going backwards only a few inches, but he never looked like he was struggling. So weirdly, he had a poor game around the field, lots of mistakes, but in the scrum he looked fantastic, so that may well have put him into pole position.
Really?
Maybe, okay. Yeah.
Oh, cool. The squad's been out soon as well, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, I'll ring Eddie and let him know my thoughts.
Do you know the game I liked the most, I think, over
what
the
now?
Weekend?
What now?
Wasps to lose.
Oh, yeah.
And now, you're not talking about a high scoring game, 3-0 to Wasps, half time.
Yeah.
Not but a good game, like a tough game. Lots of opportunities. It wasn't a boring 3-0 half. You know, there was loads and loads going on. And they came back to win it right at the end.
Mm.
Robson scoring a try. And you look at the Toulouse defence at that 80-minute mark.
Oh.
Then there's no urgency to get back in position. They're ambling back, expecting, you know, Dan Robson to...
someone to take care of it.
Someone just to put the foot on the ball. But organise... nothing.
Yeah.
Goes solo, gets in, scores a try, wins the game for his team. Is on the field for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Gets man of the match.
Yeah. And it's... yeah, they've done well. You wondered why they were signing him when they had Joe Simpson. And now you see why. Because they're both flat out brilliant, aren't they?
And it doesn't matter so much if Wasps are slightly struggling in the scrum, whatever. Because the players they've got, Cipriani, Gopeth, they've just got... creative players all over the field. Kurtley Beale, Christian Wade on the wing.
I just wonder if they don't need to settle that set piece a little bit if they're going to go on and win Europe.
Yeah, possibly. But Joe, the balance is good in that team all the way through. Daly's try should no way, if you look at the defence and you look at his line, he should have been Muller-Riced, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
But his footwork to go in and out.
But Doucetoire as well, missing the tackle.
Yeah.
It's brutal. The best defender on the field on the day. He was magnificent.
He just plants. He follows it daily and he bangs it off his right and goes
nowhere,
on the post.
Yeah. Nowhere for him to go.
Just creates something out of nothing. But
yeah,
they've got Christian Wade on one wing, who's electric, and they've got a real, they've real fine in Bassett, I think, on the left wing, who's just low error count, big, strong.
Yeah, does a lot right, hey?
Hits a line off his wing, cuts inside, goes, gets over the gain line, they're on the front foot again.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kurtley Beale has been good since he's come back from injury, because that's always the worry, isn't it? They've been injured for a long time.
A big lower limb injury to a fast guy.
It's going to take a while for them to find their feet, but he's gone straight back in.
Straight back in. He's only contracted at the end of this season, so apparently he wants to stay and they want him to stay. It's just whether they've got the dough to sign him on for another couple of years, because, you know, a 2-year contract for him is £1.5 million, isn't it? That's big money. Big money for me.
Yeah.
Got a question here, Tom.
Yeah, hit me with it.
From Jamie. Alright, fellas. Hiya, Jamie. With Mike Brown starting to get on a bit and Alex Goode out of favour, who do you think is Brown's successor at fullback? Noel? Daly? Firstly, I don't think Mike Brown's that old. He's got a bit of rugby left in him, and Goody is out of favour, so whether we think that's right or not, because he's kind of the obvious guy to play fullback if Mike Brown doesn't, but let's, considering he hasn't been picked in the squad, let's,
I wouldn't say Daly, because I think you have to be playing 15 is such a specialised position that
is
you
it
have
really?
To be playing there week in, week out.
Why is it so specialised?
Because
the positioning.
Yeah, the positioning more so than anyone. Like your lines, everything's different. Your whole kicking game's different. Mm. Be brave under the ball. I think Daly is a great centre, come wing, and I think you know, if he doesn't start, I think he'd be on the bench, and you know he could cover that role.
Yeah,
but you want someone like a Brown or a Goode who plays 15 every week.
Mm.
Because it's easy to get a position as a 15.
Yeah, you see, I wonder about Anthony Watson. I think he's playing on the wing at the moment for Bath. Tom Holmes playing fullback. But I think the one area you'd think, is he going to be good enough at that, just because we don't know, is the high ball. But then you look at the physique on him and how high he gets off the ground, and he's actually quite a big bloke. He's bigger than Mike Brown. I sort of think that he might be a long-term fullback option for England. I really do, because he's kind of got everything else. And can he? I mean, as long as he can put his head in for a tackle. As long as he's brave enough, that's it. Yeah.
I actually had a question from Gary Roberts saying, who does Flats love more, his family or Max Leheath?
Yeah, it's funny. I saw that and ignored it and hoped you wouldn't see it. I like my family. Okay. Don't know Max Leheath very well, to be honest with you.
He's got a top knot.
He has got a top knot, yeah.
Yeah.
This chap called Dudley, Dudley Hoare, he calls himself. I'm presuming that is a joke. So can you stop avoiding the biggest stories, i.e. the demise of the mid-height boot, the Adidas flanker?
Oh, what a boot they were.
And it has seen a significant demise, and I'm not even sure if it exists anymore. But
did you ever wear ankle-high boots?
When I was a kid, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, did your dad get them for you? Made you wear them?
Yeah. The point was, footballers wore low boots, and we wore high boots. That was how we saw it.
Was your dad the hammer? Was he a prop?
Yeah, tight head, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Should have played for England politics. So the whole point of not wearing ankle high boots is that the only reason you would wear them is that they give you ankle support, and you pretty quickly realise when you wear them that is a load of balls, and they don't. Just strap your ankles up and wear comfortable boots.
Yeah.
Why not just do that? Take up less room in your kit bag.
You used to wear Asics, didn't you, by the end?
Yeah, I wore whatever I got free.
Yeah.
Until I don't know if I'm, you know, sacrifice burning any commercial bridges here, but until Puma said, we'll give you some boots, send you some stuff.
Yeah.
Puma sent me some boots and I wore them once, and I said, I'm really sorry, guys, these are horrendous.
Just one condition, you've got to kick a goal.
Yeah. They were genuinely horrendous bits of kit, so I gave those back.
I think for a training boot, the Copa Monday Owls are still number one.
For you, yeah, not for a prop.
Nah, a training. You can wear them, mate. Touch and stuff like that.
Yeah. I wore them all, Tommy. Just I was a bit of a stash whore.
So this afternoon, mate, Scarlett Saracens took up my afternoon.
Yeah, how was that?
Really good.
Because I was commentating on the big game, Bordeaux Clermont.
I thought Scarlett's did enough to win it, but Saracens down to 14 men, came back right at the end. And
it's what they do.
Yeah, Chris Ashton scored.
Nice try, actually. Chris Ashton scored, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was.
Scott Williams scored a nice try for Scarlett's mind.
He is the number one centre at the moment. Mm. He is. His touches are incredible. Like, he's got the ability to offload out the back door, round the side. You know, he keeps the ball alive so well. And the angle he hit was.
It made it
really,
look so easy.
Really good.
Yeah.
Coming out the wind. I do think, though, that Alad Davis pass was incredible. He hits like a 30-yard pass. And when you're throwing long passes like that, defenders are so close to the line, they're going to come off the line quick. There's a lot of chance for an intercept.
Yeah.
Took some guts to throw that ball and at a lovely angle.
Yeah.
Scott Williams. John Davis came on.
How'd he go?
Yeah, looked good. And I think those two will start for Wales. I still think Jamie will play a big role within the squad. He'll still be used and he'll still come off the bench. But I think those two will possibly start. But it's nice to have someone like Jamie Roberts coming off the bench, isn't it?
Blimey, yeah. Having to say it to use
him. Stepping stone, you know, if the game's going tight.
Get the big horse on, don't you?
Yeah.
I read a bit, because I was commentating the other game, I just seen clips of Scarlett's, but I read about Jamie Cubby Boy Davis faking something. Did he do a dive or something?
Yeah, there's something going on in a mall or a driving mall, and Will Skelton just...
Big fella.
Yeah, huge fella. Yeah. It was like an open arm slap across the chin. Didn't really connect with him much, just sort of glanced his cheek. And he turns away and goes down on the floor. A little bit of
Muppet.
Milking it a fair bit. But
Muppet. If he's diving, he's a Muppet. And by the way, I love that guy's rugby.
That's
ridiculous.
He hasn't dove. He's just...
Dove? Sorry?
He hasn't doved. He's just taken a knee. But he certainly milked it. Anyway, they go to
He took a knee, okay.
They go to a review and Skelton gets yellow carded. But Chris Ashton was good, back from injury. He looked good.
Was he?
Lazowski, again, he started at 15.
Yeah.
So they're Farrell at 10.
I just like his tackling. I think he's just nails. He's just nails that kid.
He hit someone hard as well, right on the line.
Nailed Waldrum, nailed Sam Hill last week.
He's not a big bloke, is he?
No, he's not big. He nailed Waldrum and Sam Hill last week against Chiefs.
Yeah.
Absolutely nailed them both. One was on the line and Waldrum battered him, yeah.
But the current European champions didn't give up whatsoever, and they'll see that as a win, really. Because
did James Cubby Boy Davis dive?
He took a knee.
Okay. If he dives, he's a Muppet, so he didn't dive, so he's not a Muppet, but he milked it, trying to get someone done, faking an injury that wasn't there.
It was an open hand slap, so the referee deemed that to be a yellow card. I don't think it would have made a difference to the penalty and the sanction, but there's a little bit of play acting in there.
I wonder if Pascal Pape's called him to see if he's all right.
That's
Jesus,
a bloke.
Come on, lads. Man up. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a shame, really, because it would have been a great win for the Scarlets. They've beaten too long this year. Mm. You know, to beat Saracens would have been absolutely...
Really would have opened up next week, because it's Sarri's too long next week.
We actually got a question on Kevin Sorrell here.
What?
Yeah.
People remember Kevin Sorrell?
Kevin Sorrell, for those who don't know, is an ex-Saracen stalwart.
Solid.
Yeah, who is coaching the backs at
Sarri's.
Solid. Doesn't surprise you, this is from Novsky. Does it surprise you that Kev Sorrell is considered intelligent by some?
By whom?
Don't know.
Right.
What I do know about Kevin Sorrell is that his debut game for Saracens, I believe, was against Harlequins.
Yeah.
He's on the bench, comes off the bench in the second half, gains his first cap for Saracens, gets subbed off after 20 minutes.
Yeah, great stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
I don't know a player that's come off the bench and then got subbed off.
I know two.
Rubbish.
Don't want to ruin the story. I know two. Chris Chesney.
Okay.
Came off the bench and got subbed off again. Pretended it was because he had asthma or something. He was lying. He was just crap. And Lee Mears once came off the bench for John Humphreys at Northampton against Sarri's, actually. He played at a different ground for some reason. Flooding or something. And missed the line out, and Michael Foley, who was our coach at the time, I'd come off, I was on the bench, I think, something like that,
and he just said, Mizzy, fucking get him off now.
And he'd been on like 4 minutes, and Humph was so old that he could only play 50, and 50 was a push by then. And he was like, come on, mate, I can't go back on now. You remember him saying, and I said, you're right, mate. He said, I'm stiff as a poppadom, boy. And he went back on and did another 25 minutes. He was dying. Mizzy got put on, tugged straight off, clean as a whistle.
Wow.
Dirt tracking at the end. Unlucky, Chief.
Good on him. But my point, go out of that game, Scarlets and Ospreys are not far away, mate, in terms of the quality of play they can do. Mm. They are good teams. They're close to it really clicking.
Yeah.
I was very impressed with the Scarlets. I knew it was going to be a bit of a dogfight. It always is when you're down there. But these two Welsh regions aren't far away from producing some real good stuff.
I really hope they do. I mean that. We got a question here from Jamie Reed on email. Hi guys, loving the podcast and the woeful banter. I'm assuming that's a joke.
I think that's at you, that bit.
Right.
Yeah.
My question is this. Could Danny Cipriani go on the Lions tour as a wild card pick?
Gone are those days, mate. I think gone are those days of players who are not capped before they go. Will Greenwood was
he is one, capped, though. Sips is capped.
Yeah, but not currently playing.
Will Green was like, yeah, but I think the main reason Danny Cipriani doesn't go is because there are so many good fly halves playing every international of the year. So the guys you mentioned already, those guys are playing every time for their countries. So
yeah, I think you have to be, if not playing, come off the bench regularly for your country. Mm. So like Justin Tipperick, 4 years ago. He wasn't starting for Wales, but he had a huge involvement.
Mm.
So I don't think Cipriani will go. I think they'll take 3 10s who are first choice, and Stuart Hogg will definitely go. He can also cover.
He's so good.
He is.
I love that guy.
I know.
But I don't think Cipriani will go either. He's certainly good enough to go, but I don't think he will. This game that's on in the background looks like an absolute cracker. Michele Campagnaro has just gone in for his second for Chiefs. It looks brilliant. So hopefully by the time you listen to this, you watched it and it was good.
Should we get to some questions, mate?
Yeah. Dave Griffin, potentially the most selfish bloke who's ever emailed our podcast, Shanks.
Yeah.
Dave Griffin has basically asked, Flats, I'm coming to Bath with my missus. Is there anything you can suggest? Where would you suggest we eat out and have a pint? Is that the most selfish question you've ever heard?
Where do you normally take couples?
I don't take couples anywhere. I'm not a swinger.
What happened to that chair? You know, you're sitting in the corner with a lamp. Just turn on.
And balaclava on. Go to the porter, mate. You'll have a lovely time. Very, very selfish. Yeah, let's have a look at some questions.
Right, big boy. I've got a question here from Marcus John on Twitter. Could you name a player that was freakily fast for a fatty?
Freakily fast for a fatty?
I got one. A hooker, ex-hooker for Wales, Cardiff Blues, Gareth Williams.
Oh, yeah. Gar Wills.
Used to put his hamstring all the time. Just, I don't even know he had a leg drive. I think he just had straight leg running.
Yeah.
And
very cool. I played against him at England schools, against Wales schools, and he was a freak then as well.
Yeah. Mm. So fast, mate.
Yeah.
What about you?
Trevor Woodman.
Really?
Yeah. Very explosive. Naturally explosive, yeah.
Mm. Strong for a small guy?
Nick Abendanen.
Benders.
Or just really determined. Could never work out which. Kieran Bracken, really hard, strong guy. Strongest little guy. I'll tell you, Andy Higgins, I played with at Bath.
Yeah.
Real strong, real strong. But Horacio Aguja, the winger.
Yes.
Not that big. So hard to tackle. So hard. And David Borry, the French winger we had at Bath for a while. So strong.
I got a load.
There you go, it's a few.
That's what you can say, me. Shane Williams.
Strong, is he?
Really strong, mate. The wriggler. Like,
yeah.
He's got a physique of like a gymnast. He's like Lee Halfpenny.
Yeah,
that sort of physique. But just so hard to actually nail down, because he'd wriggle out of everything.
Yeah.
Keep his legs pumped.
Very rarely gets battered.
Yeah. I tell you, I remember playing against a few times, and I thought, you know when you tackle someone, you think, oh, that is solid.
Yeah.
Jamie Noone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Try like a couple of tackles.
Made
of
bone. Like
yeah.
That. Yeah.
Really used to
Looks
really
like Ian Dowie.
Another one, Joe Bierman.
Oh, yeah.
He's at the Ospreys now.
Mm.
Dragons. one of those, just bone everywhere.
Yeah.
And when you, it was one of those that when you tackle.
Francois Pienaar was unbelievably strong, but he was big, so it doesn't really count.
Okay, indestructible.
Danny Groucott.
Tony Diprose. Never got injured, did he?
But as Dippy once said on TV himself, he said he didn't necessarily play the sort of game that was going to get him injured. Whereas someone like a Danny Gruy was just relentless, just whacking people the whole time, body through it, and just never missed a session. Very rarely missed a game. I can barely remember him being injured in 15 years. Incredible considering the position he played.
Okay, we had a question here from James Lander. Should James Davis have been carded for simulation?
I didn't see it.
Will he be cited?
I didn't see it.
Softer than David Flatman after a dozen pork pies. Give me a dozen.
I'll have a crack at it. I didn't see it, so I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think he will be cited.
Do you think he should have got a yellow for it?
I think he'll take a fair bit of stick from the boys.
Okay. That might be enough.
Jelly legs. With Robshaw, this is from Matthew Bebb. With Robshaw out of the Six Nations, will Eddie Jones move Itoje into the back row?
Yeah.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I reckon he might. Yeah.
Purely because there's so many good second rows for England at the moment.
Yeah, and it means you can put Cruz and Launchbury and Itoje in the same team, and they're so good. Sam Underhill, by the way, adding to that mix at seven, signed for Bath this week.
Yeah.
Young seven, that's exciting.
He's been really good for the Ospreys, mate. Yeah, solid bloke. Nails. Size of his neck and shoulders.
And his head.
It's huge.
He's got a cow head, yeah.
And he's made no secrets about, you know, where he wants to play his rugby internationally. Mm. Big loss for the Ospreys. But
good for Bath,
good for Bath.
Good for
England,
yeah.
Very highly thought. I know Richard Hill's been down there a few times to watch him play.
Yeah, says he's really good.
Yeah.
Hilly knows a bit about it, you'd imagine.
Yeah, maybe. Right, we've got a question here from Ed Couste.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Ed what?
Couste,
yeah.
Yeah. Who's the craziest coach either of you have had?
Buck Shelford. Yeah.
Do you remember that time he just gave us a ball? Because we dropped a load of balls during a game, and then we had to have our own ball and look after it for a week.
Yeah.
Had to carry it around with us everywhere.
Yeah.
Boys just. After one of the games, he said, yeah, you know, I'm trying to do the accent now.
Don't do that.
He goes, yeah, the thing is, though, these boys, we'd go out, we'd have a few beers, drown our sorrows.
Yeah.
And, a few beers. That'll sort us out. He's old school. I don't even know what that accent was, mate.
I don't know
what. I need a bit of time to prep.
Bloody awful. Remember Buck Shelford coming into the room. We were playing badly. Three things Buck did. One was he did a TV interview after a game and we'd lost at home, and he said, the thing is, the problem with us is we've got no leaders out there on the field. And Kieran Bracken, the captain, came in for the next interview on Sky, I think it was then, and they said, Kieran, your boss has just said you've got no leaders in the team, how do you feel about that as captain? And he said, all I can say to that is pot kettle. Remember Brack saying that on TV?
No, I don't, mate.
Right, so then another thing Buck did was come into the team room, a team meeting, and read out quotes from the newspaper and said, Bath are awful, Bath are this, Bath are rubbish. And he was like, can you believe people are saying this about you? Boys, can you? By the way, Ulster have just scored another amazing try. Charles Pietau is a joke.
And he just sideset someone as well just because he can.
Rugby's so easy for him. Anyway, Buck saying these quotes to you, and then Chris Chesney put his hand up and goes, mate, they're your quotes. You said them. And Buck keeps looking for a bit longer. He reads it and it's like, said Shelford after the game. He's like, oh shit, and just like screws the paper up. Anyway, it's bullshit anyway. Then it was like he was reading out his own quotes, not even knowing. Another time he got me in for a chat about contracts and told me, have I told this before?
Yeah.
Cut me from the squad even though he got the wrong bloke.
Brought his brother into coach the backs, didn't he?
Unbelievable.
Nice bloke though.
Daryl,
do you remember Daryl?
Daryl, yeah.
Yeah. He was okay. I think he played rugby league for Scotland.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure he did.
I played against New Zealand Maori in 2010 in Napier, and we lost like 36-34 or something, but like they just shredded us whenever they had the ball. But every time we had a driving maul or a line out or a scrum, we just butchered their pack. They just weren't in it at all. So their scrums were, in the end, they were like, they felt like embarrassing. We just like marching them back. And I was against a guy called Ben Afiaki, I think that was his name, huge guy, but just didn't want to be there in the scrums at all that day. And after the game,
Buck comes into the changing room, and our general attitude, the coaches were like, boys, that scrum was awesome, shame we lost the game. Graham Rowntree's walking around saying, boys, scrum was awesome, you know, can't believe we lost, sorry about that kind of thing. Buck walks into the changing room and he's like, hey, what about Big Ben, eh? He's one of my boys. He's strong fucker, isn't he? I was like, were you actually watching that game? Like, he got absolutely butchered.
Remember, unbelievable.
Excuse my language.
Garth Jenkins for me, mate. We talked about him before on this pod. When he was coaching the Scarlets, you know, a knee operation, you know, when you get to that age, like of sort of mid-50s, when you need a bit of a clean out of your knee. So he used to live very close to Stradley Park, where the Scarlets used to play at the time. And you can imagine how busy it gets then with park and then people all walking towards a game. It's in the middle. It's close to a housing estate. Use a little mobility scooter to drive to the game.
Like Gangster Granny?
Yeah. Down the middle of the street, high-fiving everyone.
The little Jack Russell between his legs, like old bloke down the road.
Yeah, he'd be the type. Like, I remember doing a pre-match press conference with him. It was the day before the game, after the team ran, and you know, like reporters would ask me a question, and he would answer it because he didn't hear. So someone would say, Tom, who do you see as the biggest threats Canada are going to offer in World Cup game? And Jippo would just answer for me and we'd all be giggling.
Jippo, why do you call him Jippo?
I'm not sure, that was just what they call him.
Was it?
Yeah. And he would answer for me and we'd just be giggling in the background. But legend of a bloke.
I hope Joe Marler never called him Jippo.
No.
Anyway. Have you got any more questions, Tommy?
We don't have any. I think you answered a lot of them already, boy.
All right, well, I want to know what you're doing this week then, just briefly.
Well, we've got a dinner on Wednesday, haven't we? We're doing a Six Nations preview dinner. David Flatman hosting.
Up London, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're the MC. I don't know what that stands for, but I believe M is monumental.
You.
You're going to use that, aren't you?
Bugger.
You're going to do an M. You're going to Q&A with Mark Williams.
Yep. Martin Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Martin.
What you said,
Martin. James Haskell.
Yeah.
And Adam Jones.
The Archbishop of Banterbury.
We've got an incredible comedian. You haven't seen him yet. Kev Orrock-Rain.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, I can. I'm going to have to. I'm actually going.
Don't look at me like your boss, but know that I am. That's what I say to you.
Yeah, fine. You're running the event. So on day after that, I'm actually doing this sort of team building day with McLaren F1 at St George's Park. That could be quite good fun, couldn't it?
That's amazing. Do you get the drive? Any cars?
Don't know. I'm presuming I'd get a McLaren for going.
Yeah, probably.
Presumably, or at least a bomber jacket. Castrol GTX bomber jacket, something like that.
Wear it to a funeral.
Wear it to a funeral. Black, isn't it? So yeah, let's endeavour to have a fab week, shall we?
Yeah, okay.
And we're coming to you here from Tommy's mum's kitchen. God knows where we'll be next week, but we'll ruddy well see you then.
Goodbye.
Ta-ra.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.